and wizened, silent, staring at Eldred with black eyes. He lashed his little whip-like tail with such force that his swaddle threatened to come apart. Lady Asha seemed unsure how to cradle him. Indeed, she held him as though she hoped someone might take the burden from her very soon.
"Tell us of his future,"
the High King prompted. Only a few folk were gathered to witness the presentation of the new prince. The mortal Valmorin, who was both court poet and seneschal, and two members of the Living Council, Randolin, the Minister of Keys, and Baithin. In the empty hall, the High King's words echoed. Baithin hesitated, but he could do nothing save answer. Eldred had been favored with 5 children before Prince Cardan, shocking fecundity among the folk, with their thin blood and few births. The stars had spoken of each little prince's and princess's fated accomplishments in poetry and song, in politics, in virtue, and even in vice. But this time what he'd seen in the stars had been entirely different.
"Prince Cardan will be your last born child," the royal astrologer said. "He will be the destruction of the crown and the ruination of the throne."
Lady Asha sucked in a sharp breath. For the first time, she drew the child protectively closer. He squirmed in her arms.
"I wonder who has influenced your interpretation of the signs. Perhaps Princess Elowyn had a hand in it. Or Prince Dane."
"Maybe it would be better if she dropped him,"
Baithin thought unkindly. High King Eldred ran a hand over his chin.
"Can nothing be done to stop this?"
It was a mixed blessing to have the stars supply Baithin with so many riddles and so few answers. He often wished he saw things more clearly, but not this time. He bowed his head, so he had an excuse not to meet the High King's gaze.
"Only out of his spilled blood can a great ruler rise, but not before what I have told you comes to pass."
Eldred turned to Lady Asha and her child, the harbinger of ill luck. The baby was as silent as a stone, not crying or cooing, tail still lashing.
"Take the boy away,"
the High King said.
"Rear him as you see fit."
Lady Asha did not flinch.
"I will rear him as befits his station. He is a prince, after all, and your son."
There was a brittleness in her tone, and Baithin was uncomfortably reminded that some prophecies are fulfilled by the very actions meant to prevent them. For a moment, everyone stood silent. Then Eldred nodded to Valmorin, who left the dais and returned holding a slim wooden box with a pattern of roots traced over the lid.
"A gift," said the High King, "in recognition of your contribution to the Greenbriar line."
Valmorin opened the box, revealing an exquisite necklace of heavy emeralds. Eldred lifted them and placed them over Lady Asha's head. He touched her cheek with the back of one hand.
"Your generosity is great, my lord," she said, somewhat mollified.
The baby clutched a stone in his little fist, staring up at his father with fathomless eyes.
"Go now and rest,"
said Eldred, his voice softer. This time, she yielded. Lady Asha departed with her head high, her grip on the child tighter. Baithin felt a shiver of some premonition that had nothing to do with stars. High King Eldred did not visit Lady Asha again, nor did he call her to him. Perhaps he ought to have put his dissatisfaction aside and cultivated his son. But looking upon Prince Cardan was like looking into an uncertain future, and so he avoided it. Lady Asha, as the mother of a prince, found herself much in demand with the court, if not the High King. Given to whimsy and frivolity, she wished to return to the merry life of a courtier. She couldn't attend balls with an infant in tow, so she found a cat, whose kittens were stillborn, to act as his wet nurse.